Tim, could you come up?
Tim Hawkins has come to visit us from Sydney, and he's going to be our key speaker tonight. So give him a bit of a clap, if you wouldn't mind. Tim, tell us a bit about yourself. What's your family situation? Are you married? Do you have kids?
I'm the husband of one wife, and I have two children that I know about. Carly is 26 and she's a teacher in London. Joshua's 23 and lives at home.
What sort of things do you do, just to get to know you a little bit, what sort of things do you do to relax? What sort of music do you listen to? What sort of food do you eat?
Okay. I have something I do, but I don't know if I do it to relax. What I've been doing for about the last dozen years or so is coaching football. When I say football, think of the game that has a round ball. That's a fellow supporter over here. So I enjoy also watching football and keep thinking of the game with the round ball. I'll be back to Sydney on Monday, Tuesday night. I'm watching LA Galaxy, that's David Beckham's team, play Sydney FC. So I enjoy watching football, and I enjoy mindless TV and chocolate. Hint, if anyone wants to get on my good side.
There's some chocolate thing I saw in there for later. I'm looking forward to that, the strawberries. Now, so you're talking about soccer, basically.
Football.
Right, soccer. So, last question. What's your job, and why do you do your job?
I've been a youth pastor for the last 30 years. I love working with young people. I love working with teenagers. I love working with young adults. They are just the best people on the planet. They are the people of energy. They're the people who actually will change this planet. They're the ones that will actually do great things for Jesus. So I love that. That's what I do with my life, as well as being at my own church and my own youth groups. My church lets me escape every now and again to go encourage some other folk, and that's why I'm here.
Thank you very much. I look forward to hearing from you a little bit later. We're going to read from the Bible now, from Matthew chapter 14. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "let me come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." We're going to sing a few more songs, and then Tim's going to come up and give his message for us tonight.
Sing this for the short people. Thank you. Absolutely fantastic to be with you guys. This is a good setup here. I know some people working all through the afternoon to make this happen, and it's just brilliant to gather together, not just young people, but some of us oldies as well, to actually experience what it is to gather around God. This is good stuff. I hope you appreciate it. Were any of you here before 7 when the bands were playing? That was some good stuff. I don't know the name of all these bands. There's one which I think is called the Year 9 Band. And they were followed by a group I think called the Year 10 Band. But seriously, it was great stuff. I love being here. And the fact that you've shown up tonight is excellent, because otherwise you'd have to be home watching the grand final of Australian Idol, wouldn't you? And you wouldn't want to do that. No, this is so much better. Listen, I love working with teenagers. I'm a youth pastor at my own church. We've got a whole stack of teenagers who tonight are gathering for church up in Sydney. And I tell you, one of the great things about being a teenager is you're actually on a journey to become the man or woman that you're going to be for the rest of your life. But let me tell you the most frustrating thing about being a teenager is that everybody else has an idea of the sort of person you should become. Everyone's got a stake. Everyone's trying to mould and shape you and tell you the way that you should be. And I think being a teenager in the 21st century, sometimes you've just got so much pressure on you. I'm sure every now and again you just want to yell out and say, hang on, just leave me alone and let me be me. Can I tell you guys about the three big pressures that I know every teenager is subjected to? Here is the first pressure. It comes from well-meaning people like parents and teachers and sporting coaches and youth pastors. Here's the first pressure. You've got to be successful. You've got to work harder. You've got to achieve the results. And you've got parents and teachers and coaches and all those sorts of people genuinely wanting you to do better. But you feel the pressure. I've got to succeed. Then there's a second pressure. This one comes from the media. It comes from every song you listen to, everything that's on your iPod, every MTV segment you look at, every advertisement, every film, every TV show. If you're a teenager, here's the second pressure. You've got to be cool. I mean, you've got to have that right image. You've got to have all the gadgets. You've got to have the gear. You've got to have the girls because you wouldn't want to look uncool. And if that's not enough, there is a third pressure, and this comes from all your friends. All those wonderful, supportive people who are encouraging you every step of the way. Your friends, the pressure from them is, you be the same as us. You dress the same as us. You listen to the same music as us. You join in the same activities as us. Otherwise, we mightn't be your friends. And you're thinking, I just want to be me. And you've got to work out what you're doing here. You've got to work out what you're going to achieve. When you get to the end of your days, what will you have to show for it? Well, we are blessed here. We have the source of all knowledge and wisdom in the world, Wikipedia. And I did a little bit of research. And here's what you can expect to accomplish in your life. Now, this one you've already accomplished. By the age of 12 months, you will have dribbled 145 litres of saliva. That's round about a bathtub full of your saliva. Ooh. Okay, by the end of your life, you will grow 15 metres of fingernails. Ooh, imagine if you didn't cut them occasionally. If you added up all the time, every day you spend at work, it will be equal to going to work non-stop for 8 years. 3.5 years of your life will be spent eating. And as a consequence of that, you will spend 6 months on the toilet. They tell me the figure is same for girls as guys there. You don't believe it, do you? By the end of your life, you will have shed 23 kilograms of dead skin. And it's happening right now. Just look around you. Little flecks, 23 kilograms of it coming off you. You will grow 1,000 kilometers of head hair. Now, some of us are dragging the average down just a little bit. 1,000 kilometres. Oh, this. I like this one. You will grow 185 centimetres of nasal hair. Ooh. You will kiss for 2 weeks. You will talk for 12 years. Apparently the male and female figures are about the same. You will spend 2.5 years on the phone. You will eat 7,300 eggs. And consume 150 kilograms of chocolate. You will live for 79 years. Then you die. And somewhere along the line, you've got to think, is that it? Is that all I can look forward to achieving? Because some of you right now are on top of the world, ready to achieve your destiny. But some of you have been knocked down so many times, you don't even know whether you've got the energy to get up again. Because sometimes things will happen to you, and you think, I don't know if it's worth going on. Talking with a mate of mine who was describing an event that happened when he was a little boy, when he was about 5 or 6. He said, I was out in the backyard with my dad who was doing some gardening. And dad had the ladder out and he said, climb up the ladder. And his little five-year-old boy climbs to the top of the ladder. And his dad says, I want you to jump and I'll catch you. So a little five-year-old boy jumped and the dad stepped back and let his son go splat to the ground. And he looked down at his son and said, let this be a lesson to you, son. Never trust anyone. What will that do to that little boy as he attempts to now grow into a man? And stuff happens sometimes that just sets you back. And you've got to make decisions about the sort of person you're going to be. And right now, you're making some of those decisions about the sort of man or woman you're going to be. Some of these decisions you make will take you closer to being the person you were destined to be. And some of the decisions you take will take you further away from being the person that you're meant to be. Maybe tonight you'll discover there is a decision you need to take which is going to affect your eternity. Maybe tonight you will realize that God is calling on you to take a step that you've never taken before. I want to introduce to you a guy called Peter. Now you probably know Peter was one of Jesus' 12 apostles. He didn't have everything worked out. He didn't have Jesus all worked out. But I want to tell you about a step that he took that changed everything. He and the other disciples are out in a boat. Jesus was normally with them, but he stayed behind to pray. And when their boat was a long way out from land, right in the middle of the water, they were getting into trouble. Because this huge storm had whipped up and their boat was being tossed about and the wind was there and the waves were there. And even though they were experienced fishermen, they were terrified. And Jesus wasn't there. Now they've kind of got used to Jesus being there, but he wasn't with them. And I don't know what sort of storm you're going through right now. I don't know what waves and winds that life is throwing at you, but sometimes it can feel like Jesus isn't there. And it might even feel like Jesus has left you alone. Jesus wants to teach his disciples a lesson this night to let them know you are never alone. Let me read to you from the Bible what happened. This is Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And you're thinking to yourself, yeah, it was probably really shallow water and Jesus is just walking on the sand and it looks like he's walking on water. Hey, this water was deep enough that experienced fishermen were being tossed about in their boat and were fearing for their life because it was so desperate. Now just imagine what it would be like for you if you're in that boat. Not only are you in the middle of the lake, not only are you a long way from land, not only are you being tossed about in a storm, but then on the horizon you start to see a man walking across the top of the storm. I mean, I would be very freaked out if that happened to me. And the next verse tells us that when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. Cried out in fear. And Jesus immediately calms them down. Next verse, Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid. Now, if you were Peter, what would you do then? Remember, fearing for their lives, the storm is raging, Jesus appears. If you were Peter, what would you do? I'd be saying, hey Jesus, really good to see you. Nice timing, we're wondering when you're going to get here. I tell you what, Jesus, while you're here, I wonder if you could just do us a favour. How about stopping the storm? We are being tossed about here. We don't even know if the boat's going to survive. You could just wave your hand and with a command, you could stop this storm. We've seen you do it before. And while you're here, Jesus, it's kind of difficult rowing to the other side. Maybe you could sort of give us a little bit of jet propulsion so that we could get to the other side without all this effort that we're putting in. And look, while you're at it, Jesus, we're getting kind of hungry. And we reckon that you could probably conjure up some McValue meals for us. And that would go down a treat. That would be just brilliant. What do you reckon, Jesus? Remember the loaves and fishes? Come on, you could do it. Because you know, when so many people, when Jesus shows up, they want Jesus to do something for them. Solve their problems. Make life more comfortable. Get them that exam mark. Get them that girlfriend. Get them that money. But see, following Jesus is not about getting him to do stacks of things for you. Following Jesus isn't saying, Jesus, come and make my world better. Following Jesus means you take a step of faith which takes you into scary territory. Following Jesus means you go where he goes. Following Jesus means you do what Jesus says no matter what that costs you. And there's Peter in the boat, Jesus out on the water, and here is Peter's actual response. Next verse, verse 28. He says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you on the water. And there's Peter making a decision. If you're going to be out there in the storm, Jesus, if you're going to be out there in the wind and the waves, if you're going to be out there in scary territory, I want to be out there with you. And see, maybe that's a step that you're ready to take tonight. To actually say to Jesus, I don't want you just to do stuff for me. I don't want you just to make my life better. I want to go where you're going, Jesus. And if that means going into scary territory, I want to go with you. In verse 29, Jesus says, well, come on. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Now, you've got to understand that when Peter trusted Jesus, a miracle happened in Peter's life. Can you note that Jesus didn't take the storm away? When you see the Jesus movies, it's always like this really calm lake that Peter walks on. In Bruce Almighty, and Jesus walks on the water. It's this incredibly crystal clear, glassy, smooth lake. Remember, the storm is still raging. The waves are still coming up. The wind is still howling. But when Peter trusts Jesus, Jesus doesn't take the storm away, but he gets to walk on top of the storm. And I know sometimes when things are going wrong for me, I just want Jesus to take the storm away. I want him to stop the problems. I want him to make life better for him. But it might be that he's just saying, the storm's going to rage for a while, but walk with me and we'll walk on top of it. Suddenly, when Peter trusted Jesus, Peter wasn't swamped by the storm. He was on top of the storm. He was walking on water. Now let's just freeze that for a moment. Here is Peter taking an incredible step of faith and a miracle happens. He's walking on top of the storm. He's walking on top of the water. But have you ever noticed that when you're doing something well, it's almost like a problem will sneak up and make it a bit difficult for you. And just for a moment, Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and starts to look at the kind of large storm and the waves that are about to engulf him. Verse 30, when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. Just for a moment, he took his eyes off Jesus and suddenly he wasn't sure if Jesus had the power to keep him going. And at this moment, everything changes. He starts to sink. Does this make sense? With his eyes on Jesus, he couldn't see how powerful the storm was. But with his eyes on the storm, now he can't see how powerful Jesus is. With his eyes on Jesus, he can't see how powerful the storm is. But with his eyes on the storm, he can't see how powerful Jesus is. And I know there'll be storms raging in your life. I know there'll be things that are going wrong. And I know there'll be stacks of temptations to stop you becoming the person that Jesus wants you to be. But see, when your eyes are on Jesus, you won't be able to see how powerful those storms are. But when your eyes are on your storms, you won't be able to see how powerful Jesus is. Because sometimes the stuff around you can just overwhelm you. The people will let you down. People will hurt you. Your own sin will drag you down to make you feel like you failed over and over again. And sometimes we just want Jesus to take the storm away. We just want him to make everything great again. And we complain to Jesus that our storm is too big for us. Hey, stop telling God how big your storm is. Start telling your storm how big God is. Stop telling God how big your storm is. Start telling your storm how big God is. Because when Peter realizes he's sinking, when he realizes he needs help, he cries out. Verse 30, when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cries out, "Lord, save me." And immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You see, no matter what is going on for you, the moment you say to Jesus, "Lord, save me," he reaches down wherever you are to grab you by the hand and to pull you up so that you will be with him. That's what he did when he died for you on the cross. When Jesus is butchered on a Roman cross, he takes every bit of your sin, everything you have ever done in your life that would stop you being God's person, Jesus takes the whole lot off you. He places it on himself. Every barrier that could stop you getting to heaven, Jesus smashes through every one of those barriers. The punishment that we deserve from God falls on Jesus and not us. Anything that God could be angry with you about, his anger is poured out on Jesus as he suffers in punishment and dying on a cross. And you know that 3 days later, Jesus bursts out of that tomb. And he defeated the last enemy. He smashed through the power of death, though he can now give us eternal life. And because of what Jesus has done, every sin forgiven, every bit of eternal life given, then when we reach out like Peter and say, "Lord, save me," we know that Jesus has the power to reach down whatever storm we're in and grab us by the hand to take us where he wants to go. So where are you at in your life right now? You might just be sitting back in your comfortable boat, watching Jesus walk by. Maybe even tonight, you're hearing a message of Jesus, you're seeing his power, but you're just sitting back and you're watching him walk by, and you're watching him leave, and you will leave here tonight and nothing has changed. Or maybe, like Peter, you realize that Jesus is calling you to follow him. And he's calling you to take a step of faith, to get out of your boat and to follow him wherever he calls you. And maybe some of you come from a Christian family, you've been at a Christian school, you've hung out at a youth group, you've been at the church, but you know you've never taken that step for yourself. And you know that you're not following Jesus. And you know that you're not reaching out to him. And you know that you're not walking with him. Maybe tonight is the night to take that step. If you've come along here from whatever church tonight And you know that Jesus is calling on you to take that step of faith that you've never taken. Do not leave here without doing something about it. Here's what I want you to do. Whichever church group you're from, whichever youth group you're from, tonight grab the person who invited you, grab one of your leaders and tell them that you want to take that step of faith that you've never taken before. Tell them tonight that you want to follow Jesus no matter where he takes you. Tell them tonight that you want to obey Jesus for the rest of your life, no matter what that means. So that tonight you can have the joy of knowing what it means to be forgiven by God. And you can have the joy of living with God forever in heaven. Don't leave here until you've talked with someone and say, help me take that step. Jesus wants me tonight. My final challenge to you. Tonight, Jesus is calling you to follow him the same way that he called Peter. Will you take that step of faith that Jesus is calling on you to do? Thanks very much.